in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us. Having no other leadings in any other aspect at this time of his holy word, I would return to the text that we had before us this morning in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. First epistle of Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, the Almighty God, for he, the Almighty God, careth for you. Oh, dear friends, what a sweet command this is, what a sweet exhortation. The foundation of it, isn't it, is in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the atonement through his shed blood for our sins. It's a solemn consideration though, isn't it? That if we do not know the forgiveness of our sins, assuredly, then can we truly say the Lord cares for us? His care for us is spiritual, predominantly, first of all, and then it is providential. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And dear friends, Jesus came to call sinners such as you and me to turn about from the love of the world to where there's a greater love for the work of Christ within our hearts. And then, dear friends, all that occurs to us, we know that we're in his hand. Our times are in his hand. All things has a divine purpose, whether they're troubles or whether they're joys. And he will command it to come, to keep us in the right way, that leads unto everlasting life. And in that way, oh, we're to cast all our care, all things upon him. And through that, dear friends, and those answers, as we plead before him by prayer, we prove he does care for us. Bringing to pass those things which we could not handle and manage ourselves. And yet, we're delivered from all our fears regarding one matter and another. Or the privilege of prayer. Dear friends, there's no greater privilege, is there, that we can have than to cast all our care upon Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And to know that in spite of what we are, our sins, he cares for us. He knows us. The foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are his. God is good. And dear friends, he knoweth them that trust in him, because they're subject to his divine will and the ruling of his spirit, to draw them out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. Oh, dear friends, how gracious and good is God, that dreadful, vile sinners, even such as we, can be delivered from his wrath to come and be found faultless through Christ Jesus, our Saviour, believed on by faith, faultless in that last day. Jesus said of Mary in Bethany, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, how Mary was called. called by that influence of the Spirit of God to leave the things which were demanding at that time in that home to sit at the feet of Jesus. Dear friends, have you ever come to a time like that? You had to leave something of your work, your business, your activity or what you're involved in, and you've just had to turn to the Word of God. Dear friends, there's blessing in those leadings like that, you know. Because through the leading of the Spirit, there'll be the blessing of the Spirit. There'll be a portion of His word, of His voice, for the profit of your soul. Oh, do not neglect the word of God. Dear friends, through reading it, we can cast our cares upon Him. We can plead the precious promises. Lord, hast thou not said, is not this within thy power? Nothing is too hard for thee. O Lord, do undertake for me. Do save me. Do provide for me. Do deliver me from this evil, this temptation, whatever be your care at the time. But we have a multitude of cares, don't we? There's a very similar text in the Old Testament. Is it in Psalm 56? I'm not too sure. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now that burden there, dear friends, in the old Hebrew language means your lot. Not just one single trouble, it means everything which comes upon you in your earthly life. The pathway you walk out, commit it and cast it upon the Lord. Has he not said, fear not, I will help thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Has he not confirmed that to you? Has he not brought you to pour out your heart in forgiveness of sins? Has he not begun that good work in you? Then, dear friends, he will sustain you, he will uphold you, he will help you, he will give you more grace in the time that it's needed. He will maintain you in faith. He'll maintain you in his tender fear. Dear friends, that word cast there in the Old Testament, Hebrew, means throw it violently, as if you're throwing a spear. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. Oh, aim it directly to him. Don't just wander about upon others and, oh, it may be that the Lord will hear. You say, well, what's the meaning here of casting all your care upon him in our text? It's not quite the same, but it is throwing. As if in the same way as one who is sowing the seed, throws the seed, scatters it about. But here is casting all your care upon him. Casting upon is one word in the Greek. You cast it upon him, all of those cares. Knowing that he careth for you. Oh, like that woman we have, the parable, don't we, of the woman who went before the unjust judge. And she kept going, she kept going. She kept casting her concerns, her troubles upon him. He said, because unless she weary me, I will deal with her matter. Jesus said, hear what the unjust just says. Shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, casting all their care upon him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily, though he bear long with them. Well, dear friends, you know, and everything may not happen immediately. But when the time of the Lord comes to answer your cries, to satisfy your needs, to deliver you from your cares, it will happen straight away. It will happen. Well, my mind goes to that woman, another woman, the woman of Samaria. Dear friends, she had a great trouble, didn't she, with that daughter sick at home. greatly tormented in her mind. Whether she was a widow or not, we are not told. But she came and cast her care upon Jesus. She told him her case. Dear friends, she wasn't a Jewess. She was a Gentile. She'd heard of Jesus. She'd heard what he could do. And she came, dear friends, by faith, believing that he was able to handle her case. I wonder if any of you have been drawn like that in your early instances of seeking Jesus. He's brought you into a time of trouble. He's brought you into a time of great care of you cannot handle it yourself. And you fall on your knees and before the Lord tell him all your case. But dear friends, the Lord bare long, didn't he, with this woman? He answered her not a word. You say, well, was he unkind? Was he unmindful of her? No. Dear friends, he was using that case to sovereignly. It was for the sanctification of her soul. It wasn't just to be a providential mercy which he graciously delivered her from. It was to be for the good of her soul. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Or the disciples said, yes, send her away. Left to their own understanding. She troubleth us. Send her away. She pursued after them. Jesus said that he was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. He knew this woman. He knew her heart. She was one of his. And he would bring from her that confession, dear friends, of exactly what she was. She came casting all her care upon him, this time not just a general might say casting, for providential mercy. She threw it at him, Lord, help me, help me. Two words. Oh, dear friends, when we're in distress and trouble, we don't even lay out the problem, do we? We just say, Lord, help me. For he has said, fear not, I will help thee. I am thy God. And all this is the influence of the Spirit. Dear friends, within in a time of trouble to commit all things unto the Lord. Cast it all upon him, and he shall sustain thee. But how did he sustain that woman? Why, it seemed he rebuked her, rejected her. He says, it's not meet to take the children's bread. That was of his own people, the Jews, to whom he came. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Oh, dear friends, what an offensive word. There's much today about offensive words, isn't there? No one should offend anybody. What offensive word to this needy woman. You're a dog. You're not one of my kinfolk. But, dear friends, that didn't hurt her, did it? Her faith and trust was in the Lord to deal with the matter of her daughter. Her care was her daughter. It wasn't just her own care. It was the care of others. We didn't touch upon that this morning. And dear friends, that's more or less what drew me to it again this afternoon. The care of others. But dear friends, as she came and committed the matter to the Lord, she had to acknowledge, yes, she was but a dog. She was not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercies. She was a sinner. She was born outside the commonwealth of Israel. She was a Syrophoenician. She was without God and with hope in the world. But dear friend, she was drawn nigh, wasn't she? By the teaching of the Spirit. To know that this Jesus was the only one who could save her soul. Truth, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, dear friends, those crumbs are the bread, aren't they? Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. This is my body which is broken for you. Oh, dear friends, that's why Christ came, wasn't it? To give himself a sacrifice for the sins of his people. And this woman, she needed it as much as anyone else. Oh, what faith, just but a crumb. Crumb of the Lord's mercies would do her completely good. The Lord sent her away. Dear friends, she was a blessed soul in her own self. And her providential matter was healed. Her daughter was of her right mind. Oh, dear friends, there is power, isn't there, with God. Power through Jesus Christ. Committing all our way unto him, praying earnestly. Praying, oh, as Paul says to Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, casting all your care upon him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, dear friends, you've got your matters. We've all got our own matters. I've got mine, and our cares and considerations, our fears, our doubts. Solemnly, at times, they're doubts, aren't they? And that's not the exercise of faith. Oh, well, we have to cast our doubts upon the Lord for him to sustain us and give us more faith to trust in him at all times. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, dear friends, I've just mentioned the care of others. The Apostle Paul had many cares, didn't he, regarding himself. Oh, at one time, dear friends, he was troubled that he would be a castaway. And Satan was a mighty foe. Paul testifies how Satan came, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. Now, dear friends, that would have been a lying spirit, wouldn't it? You know, I'm sure Paul could look back and see all the evil that he'd done. And at times, perhaps, doubting whether he would be completely forgiven for the murderous things he did to those who believed in Jesus. And Satan would stir that up within him. Dear friends, I wonder if there's any of you like that. You can look back to some of your past sins. In your youth, childhood, even in adulthood. And you see those things you've committed, oh, so contrary to the goodness of God and to the truth as it is in Jesus. You were overruled by your own heart. You were ruled by your own mind and those desires and self-will. Oh, you were forced to do it from within your own heart. And now, oh, you look back. And you see what a vile sinner you've been. The messenger of Satan to buffet you. Dear friends, this becomes a great care, doesn't it? The care of your soul. You can't do anything about it yourself. You're a sinner. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, we still do. But oh, those past iniquities, those past sins. Dear friends, Paul said to the Lord, take it away. And then we don't read that the Lord did actually take away the messenger of Satan, whoever that was, to buffet him. But he gave him something greater to subdue that power. He was a sinner. He confessed, didn't he, at the end, towards the end of his days, in his second epistle to Timothy, that he was the chief of sinners. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My grace, says the Lord to Paul in answer to his prayer. My grace is sufficient for thee. I care for you. Oh yes, cast all your care upon me. My care for you is greater than all these accusations and fears and troubles that come against you. You're mine. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Oh, Paul knew what it was to be called by the name of Jesus, didn't he? When Christ appeared and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Oh, what a great sinner he was. But I have redeemed thee. I've paid the price for thy sins. I've shed my blood to blot out all your transgressions. I've risen again, showing my power over the sin and the grave. And that power I have given to you, because Paul says, "Oh, that I might know the power of his resurrection, that he might have eternal life." Dear friends, that's the grace of God, isn't it? Who gave his only begotten Son, that he should pay the price of their sins, overcome the power of sin to cause an eternal death, to rise again, to give eternal life to all those for whom he died. Oh, the power of his resurrection. I go to my Father and your Father and my Father, your God and my God, made like unto his brethren, to pay the price for sin, that he may take them to be with him in glory, faultless before the Father's throne. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, dear friends, what a truth. Casting all your care upon him, all those sinful plagues which can come upon us continually, to know he cares for you. He cares for you. Not only Paul did have that care for himself, but he speaks of the care of all the churches. The Lord had sent him in the way which he should go. He was to preach Christ and him crucified to the Gentiles. And he went far and away, didn't he? And yes, he suffered much for Christ's sake in those journeys which he made, preaching the gospel. But his great care was for the churches themselves. Oh, when he left Thessalonica, hastening away because of their threatening. Friends, how he said, "How often I would have come to you, but Satan hath hindered me." Oh, what care he had for the churches when he revisited them. He feared that Satan would overcome them. But oh, his prayer was for them. You look at his epistles to the churches. How many of them, perhaps all of them, speak how he commits them to the Lord in prayer. Dear friends, how many do we have the care of? Care and consideration for, especially in the way of God's truth. Those who perhaps have been called by grace. Those who have begun in the ways that the Lord hath appointed for them through the blessing of their soul. They face many trials and tribulations and the trials of their faith, don't they? They have difficulties, matters just as you do. And this, but your care, not only for yourself, is the care of those, that the Lord will keep them. Keep them in the times of temptations. Keep them in the times of tribulation. And you cast them upon the Lord. You pray for them. Casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. And what you have received of the Lord, how you desire it, dear friends, to be for those who are your loved ones. Casting all your care upon him, the church. Oh, dear friends, we are greatly troubled today, aren't we? Dear friends, what a care we should have for the churches. Like as Paul did. How few in number the churches seems to have come to. How weak against the many vain philosophies and of this world and the rules and regulations and statutes which come down from our government and so on and so forth. Oh, so much unscriptural. So much of Satan. Dear friends, we're to cast it all upon the Lord. For him to sustain us. They are burdens, aren't they? He said of his church, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is still there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Dear friends, our individual churches here at Hope Chapel Stotfold. Oh, how we need to commit all our way and all our matters and all our times of worship and all things that concern us unto the Lord, that he may come and maintain the presence of his Spirit amongst us. That it may be, so my Spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. What did we read at the beginning of this chapter this morning, chapter 5? Oh, dear friends, how I need much prayer to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. What a care that is. My care for you and your care for me, that we may have that united care one for another, committing each other unto the Lord, that his word all shall be blessed amongst us, that the power of his Spirit may be known in our hearts within us. And that we be here as the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And dear friends, to testify, yes, testify of that mercy and of that goodness. Willingly to be able to do that, for it's the honour and glory of God. Then, dear friend, let us pray one for another, and that his name may be honoured and glorified amongst us. A great care for the furtherance of the gospel. A great care that many shall come to be sinners saved by grace. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You might say, well, why ever did you read about David and Goliath? Well, dear friends, it came to me like this. David had a great care. At first he was just a shepherd boy. But then when the Lord sent Samuel to anoint him to be king of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That would have made a change within him. Even though he'd been kept by the power of God to that day. And he came to acknowledge how the Lord had defended him from the bear and from the lion. Dear friends, he now had a care for the people. A care for his people, Israel. But above that, he had a great care that all the nations of the earth should know that God was the God of Israel, and that his name should be honoured and glorified. And when the enemy came against Israel, dear friends, the Philistines, who was a mighty enemy of Israel, well, they'd come up once and twice, three times, haven't they, at the beginning of the first book of Samuel. They'd taken the ark of God when the sons of Eli had behave so ungodly and irrationally, taking the Ark of the Covenant into the battle. The Philistines had taken it. Oh, and that dear wife of one of Eli's sons, giving birth, called the name of the child Ichabod. The glory hath departed. Oh, dear friends, as I've said perhaps before, be careful how you use that word Ichabod. It wasn't used as a judgment upon another. It was a confession from within that woman's own heart. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord hath departed. That's how she felt. But dear friends, although that seemed to be the case, it hadn't completely gone at it. The Lord was still mindful of his people in his infinite mercy, in spite of all their sins. That evidence given through Moses. The evidence of the presence of God, dear friends. He couldn't abide in the land of the Philistines. They came into great adversity, didn't they, because of it. They had sicknesses and illnesses wherever it was taken, and it was sent back to Israel. Sadly, it was left untouched for many years, until David, becoming king, he brought it again to Jerusalem. But dear friends, this was David's spirit. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him when he was anointed to be king in those earlier days. It was for the glory of God. The Philistines came, and that great giant Goliath came to fight against one of the Israel's army. Send a man that we may fight together. And every one of Israel was full of fear. Dear friends, they may have cast their care upon the Lord from the army and Saul. We do not know, we're not told. But there wasn't any faith. There was fear. This one naturally was far greater than any of them. They could not fight against that giant of a man. Friends, in the sovereignty of God, Jesse sent David to send some bread and food, which the armies no doubt dependent upon, weren't they? I've often wondered about the logistics of food and drink, and in those armies when they went to battle, this great number of thousands, how they must have to take all these provisions with them, and that would perhaps soon fall short. And David was sent with some sheep, wasn't he, lambs, some meat and some food and drink. And he came to where they were, lined up for the battle. And he heard this giant speak. Dear friends, the Spirit of God raised up in David. The Lord had sent him to fight in this battle. He did not know what he was going to face in going and obeying his father, did he? But his times were in the Lord's hand. And when he heard this great giant defy the God of Israel and Israel themselves, dear friends, his great care was that the name of the God of Israel was not defiled. It wasn't he going in his own strength. Why, he was but a youth. And he said he would go and fight the giant. He would go in his own strength. No, I shouldn't have said that, should I? He should go as he was, just as a shepherd boy. But in the name of the Lord his God, the name of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, Goliath came to defy the God of Israel by his own gods. But they were no gods, were they? Not compared to the living God of Israel. Dear friends, David's exercise, his great care, was to overcome all that was against him for the honour and glory of God. Saul gave him his armour. Yes, he says, you go, because David said that God, who had delivered him from the paw of the bear, the mouth of the lion, he will spare me, he will save me from this Philistine. Saul said, go and the Lord be with thee. And he gave him his armour. But dear friends, that wasn't going to be any good to David. It would be too heavy for him, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be built and fitted suitable for him. He could not go with it. I wonder why he took his sling and his scrip. Nothing happens by chance. He probably did not realise, not knowing what he was going to face, probably did not realise why he had taken his sling and his scrip with him as he left the sheep with the keepers to obey his father's voice and take the food to his brothers in the battle. Dear friends, the Lord knows everything, doesn't he? It was through that sling and that scrip that he went to fight that giant. The same way as he'd fought the lion and he'd fought the bear. Yes, David had a skill at slinging stones to defend the sheep from their enemies. Dear friends, now that sling and that stone was to be used to destroy the enemy of God's people. It was the Lord's direction. And it was David's great care, dear friends, that that name of the Lord should be honoured and glorified in the way the Lord had directed him. And dear friends, I do not know if any of us are called at some stage in our lives to declare, oh, the counsel of God, yes, the ministry of the gospel. Oh, to stand fast in this evil day against all the enemies that come against the church of God and of Christ. Dear friends, one has to be sent. One can't go in their own strength. David couldn't go in his own strength. But he grims a great care, dear friends, when the Lord lays an exercise upon you, I can tell you that. I fought against it. I did not want to go, I feared. It wasn't until the Lord was constrained in such a way that one had to go, that we had to go completely dependent upon the name of God. And that's how David went, wasn't it? Casting his care, all his care, upon the Lord as he went forward just with his shepherd's clothing and his sling and his stone. That mighty soldier Goliath had all his armour, from the sole of his feet, you might say, to the crown of his head. Helmet, shoes, had a great spear, and someone carried his shield for him. He had armour across his breast and so forth, and he was much taller than all the others, so many cubits high. But dear friends, the Lord knew Goliath's weakness. He knew where there was a spot of weakness in him. And when David went forward in the name of the Lord with that stone and that sling, the only weapon that was in his hand, dear friends, that stone went straight to that weak point, into his temple. One small place, perhaps, which was not fully shielded, not from the projection of a stone. And it sank into his forehead. Perhaps he had a weakness there, we're not told. But with the speed of the stone and that, he fell down to the ground, completely stunned. And David was able then to take Goliath's own sword, and kill him completely. That the enemy of Israel was completely destroyed and all the others fled. Dear friend, do you know what it is to have a Goliath against you in your daily circumstances? That which would attempt you and seek to overturn your stance as you seek to honour God in your pathway of life. You come up against a great enemy, things that are wrong, things that are evil, and it's as if they're going to overcome. And oh dear friends, we have much in the Church of Christ today, don't we, and in the practice of the Christian faith, how much there is that rises against us. Dear friends, I like Goliaths. They're probably supported by the government and various statutes and all that sort of thing. How can we stand against them? Only in the name of the Lord our God. Casting all our care upon him, we come against thee in the name of the Lord our my God, says David. And dear friends, he has more power than all the earthly power of the enemy. To trust in him at all times, to see how he may perform. Oh, my mind just goes, I think I did mention it this morning, but I didn't touch upon him, and that's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had a great enemy against him, didn't he? far greater number, and with great big chariots, which he did not have. Jehoshaphat had this great army come up against him. He did not know, he said, what to do. He knew they would destroy him by natural reason and sense. But he said, our eyes are up unto thee. He cast upon the Lord his care. Oh, that Israel would not be overcome. Was it not through the Israelites? Was it not through the Judah? Was it not through the name of the kings that the Son of God was to be born? Was it not that the seed of the woman promised in the Garden of Eden? Oh, the time would come when that glorious Messiah would be born for the saving of many souls, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Oh, the destruction, dear friends, there of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and that would eliminate that promise, wouldn't it? You know, Jehoshaphat's prayer, I'm sure, was more than just a physical, practical, and might we say providential. It was that the Lord would appear to defend his own cause, his own word, his own promise. And that's what we need today, isn't it? Regarding the Church of Christ, the Lord will defend his people, defend his promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or when things come against us and we have no wisdom or power, but our eyes are up unto thee. That was what Jehoshaphat said. And one came, one of the priests, was it? And spoke to him. Says, God says, the battle is not yours, it's mine. It's mine. I will defend my cause. I will defend my name. I will defend my glory. I will defend my promises. Go to the battle. They had to go and prepare themselves for the battle. But you will not have to fight in this battle. Go and face the enemy. And when they got there, dear friends, the enemy had fought against themselves. And the threat was removed. How did Jehoshaphat go to the battle? He didn't put his army first, did he? He put the priests first and those who praised God. They went forward, singing the praises of God who had promised, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Oh, dear friends, you know, when we have troubles, great troubles come against us. Troubles against his church, his name, in this evil day in which we live. And dear friends, we're to go forward, yes, not to stay we are, not to stay back and hope and sitting on our lees that things will happen all right. No. We have to show our faith by our works. Go forward in the name of the Lord, trusting in his promises, trusting in his name, and seeing how the Lord will work for us. Praying always. Not ceasing to pray. Oh, and dear friends, casting all our care upon him. Lord, that thy name may be honoured and glorified. Dear friends, how else can we continue? By faith. By faith, trusting in the Lord at all times. Casting all our care upon him. Knowing he cares for us. He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Dear friends, those whom he hath performed that good work in, that to assemble together and bind together as the church of Christ, aren't they? The evidence of a praying people. The evidence of those who fear God and trust in him at all times. Those who seek the honour and glory of his name for what he's done for their soul. There's our glory. There's our foundation. That was David's foundation, wasn't it? What the Lord had done for his soul, what he'd revealed in him by the Holy Spirit. And David went forth against all that was against him, and he gained the victory. Jehoshaphat went forth against all that was against him, fact practically, he gained the victory. And how many times, dear friends, do we read of that through the Scriptures? casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, dear friends, those matters in which you fear, that uncertain pathway before you in this life, dear friends, all things are known unto God. He performeth the thing that is appointed for you, and many such things are with him. What has he appointed for you? Why is appointed for you the time you were born? Nothing happens by chance. The time that he has appointed for all things is appointed for you. Is that time of your call by his grace? Where as a guilty sinner you confessed your sins before him, and you found mercy to your soul, that love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Oh, he says, I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when we come into troubles, when we pass through the waters, I will be with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And dear friends, we seek to honour and glorify him in all we say and all we do. He says, I will lead thee forth by the right way. And that may be, yes, it has to be through many tribulations, many troubles. But we trust in him, casting upon him all our care. To know that he cares for us. He will not let us fail. He will not let us fall. He will bring us safely through. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Trusting in the Lord at all times, knowing he is able to do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. A prayer hearing and an answering God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, as complete in Christ Jesus, without sin, unto salvation, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, our personal matters and those of others, dear friends, casting it all upon the Lord. He will sustain us. He careth for us. He will gain the victory. Oh, Satan is a defeated foe, isn't he? He will do his utmost to bring you into deep troubles, the casting down of your soul. Poor Job was cast down, wasn't he? But his strength was in this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And dear friends, Job's strength in the faith of that carried him through all his trial and all his troubles. I know that my Redeemer liveth. If he had a Redeemer, he knew he was a sinner. And Christ had paid the price for him, that seed of the woman, which we read of in Genesis, which no doubt Job knew and read of. He believed in the resurrection. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He died for sinners, risen again. All power, says Jesus, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Then, dear friends, trust in him at all times. Casting on all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. Amen.